All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball, the Rockies and the Giants, game three of this four-game series. We bring in Greg Amsinger. He's the studio host of MLB Tonight. I love listening to this guy. I love talking ball with him, and glad to have him on. Greg, how are you?
Oh, wonderful introduction. Thank you. Good to be on the show. The Giants are the team to talk about right now, so let's have some fun.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you this, though. You survived working with Tim Flannery and Eric Burns. Tell me about that. How about that?
Look, what I love about MLB Network is it is a national network, and they knew that from the jump, and they wanted personalities that represented people from all over this great country of ours. And there are people that act like both of those guys, and they were well representing those people. Flan is one of the great human beings I've ever met, and I know you guys can attest to that. And Eric Burns is such a creative genius. People like to scoff at him, but there's a method to his madness. He is a special guy, a great human being. I'll tell you a quick story about Eric Burns. My daughter had a Sweet 16 party a couple of years ago. He had an awesome apartment in Manhattan. He wasn't in town. I told him about the Sweet 16 party that, you know, my daughter was going to have like 5 to 10 friends. He goes, take my apartment. I'm like, you want a bunch of teenage girls in your incredible apartment in Manhattan? He's like, yeah, I'm not going to be there. They'll have a blast. That is who he is. We used the apartment. It was beautiful. And that's who he's always been. He's just a great guy.
Yeah, we love him. In fact, when I met you for the first time, it was with Burnsy and at Scottsdale. And we love talking ball with him, and I've seen a lot of his career, so I know he could play the game too. But you go toe-to-toe with Harold Reynolds, with Dan Plesac, and everybody else night after night, and no one really knows your baseball background because you've got the passion, you've got the interest. Where did it all come from?
So I was a terrible baseball player. I will admit that very candidly. Basketball was the best sport that I played. I'm 6'5", left-handed guy. My game, I told everyone I played like Tony Kukoc, the former Chicago Bulls. That's who I try to resemble my game after. Baseball-wise, I was a tall pitcher, crafty, uppercut swing, and I had a severe football injury. So my right knee was completely blown out and had it replaced at the age of 17. So my athletic career came to an end overnight. I was obviously still in love with sports, particularly baseball. I had a great bond with my grandfather over it. Loved talking all kinds of statistics. When I was a portly young fellow, very nerdy guy, I created a baseball game with dice. No joke. And it was all based on probability. So if the bases were loaded and there was a reliever with an ERA over 5, I had three different pieces of paper that had outcomes based on probability. This is who I was. Collected baseball cards. I still do. I'm a huge baseball nerd. I love the pace of the game. I love going to a ballpark, sitting, catching up with your family and friends, enjoying sightseeing, people watching, and the beautiful baseball diamond and the athletes that play it. So I've always been enamored with players. I'm in awe of what they're able to do. And it's just been a labor of love. A 162-game schedule, if you miss a week, you feel like you've missed the season. So to stay on top of it is what I love about it. It's part of the fabric of my life.
You know, it's funny. Listening to you, you're not Brian Kenny. See, he's a nerd who gets stuck with the numbers and never gets out. You love the numbers, but you get out.
Yes, well, I think it goes back to the fact that I'm enamored with the players. I grew up wanting to be Will Clark and Mark Grace. I'm a tall, left-handed first baseman. I also pitched, but I was a first baseman. I thought I was a good defensive first baseman. And those were the two guys I thought I played like on the baseball diamond. I was just amazed by Ozzie Smith's defensive prowess. I was amazed by watching the Bash Brothers in Oakland, you know, crush baseballs. I was amazed by watching Oral Hershiser not give up runs for, you know, weeks on end. I was amazed by watching Dennis Eckersley with pinpoint command for one inning a night. There's just special talents. And the thing about baseball that I struggled with, I mean, I openly have ADHD. It works for my job. I have to move on to the next thing. So it's perfect for MLB Tonight. But for baseball, what people don't recognize is the mental discipline these men have to sit and wait and wait and wait. And here comes the pitch. Foul ball. Nothing happened. Here comes the next. Nothing happened. I don't have that mental discipline. These men do. And I am in awe of their ability to, on a whim, dominate and be an athletic perfection to me is just where I just never figured out. It's such a hard sport. And again, that's why there's a difference. I don't want to be a front office guy. I don't want to be a manager. I always wanted to be a player, and I never forget how hard this game is.
Boy, beautiful. Greg Amsinger, our guest here, studio host of MLB Tonight. You can see the passion. Well, I'm glad you said that because you've got it, and it comes across on TV. Well, it leads us into the next question. You must have loved the Field of Dreams event and everything surrounding it after listening to you and talking with your grandpa and having a catch.
Oh, it was a beautiful night. It just was. I got to tell you, I was blessed in 2015 to be part of the site survey with Commissioner Manfred and
really?
Some of his right-hand people. Yes, I was out, got on the commissioner's jet in 2015, flew to Iowa, and this was something they were thinking about doing. Folks from Iowa knew we were coming, so it was a big meet and greet, and I emceed it with the commissioner and John Smoltz. Walked around the house that was in the movie, and we all played catch in the cornfields, thinking to ourselves, can we really build a ballpark here for a Major League Baseball game? And a guy that used to be a deputy commissioner, and he just recently left not too long ago, Tony Petitti, who was the first CEO of MLB Network, this was his baby. It was his idea. And I got to tell you, Harold and I were texting with him the night of the game. And he doesn't work for Major League Baseball anymore, still very good friends with Rob Manfred, the commissioner. And he was emotional watching it on television that this idea just came from this love of a movie, a great classic movie that we all are enamored with. And it to say something that we're all excited about exceeded expectations, it doesn't begin to describe what that night did. Visually, we were stimulated nonstop. In terms of the way the game ended, you couldn't script it. If someone gave me the outcome of this game, I would have said that's really cheesy. There's no way the best players on the field are all going to be the heroes and the White Sox are going to win in the end. It really was a real-life movie, and Kevin Costner was in the stands to watch it.
Well, it was amazing. Do we go back? Do we have it again? And, you know, I sort of had the feeling that baseball needed the shot in the arm. And I know they're going to go back next year. I'd love to see the Giants. Come on, Moonlight Graham was a Giant. I'd love to see the Giants play the Cubs or the White Sox or your Cardinals or something like that. But I think baseball needed it. It's the dog days. There's no off days. The weather's a little funky right now. The All-Star game was okay with all the turmoil around that. Baseball needed this, I thought, Thursday night. I thought it really, really was a shot in the arm.
I agree. And the purity of the look of it is what was so romantic about the broadcast. There was no digital square over the strike zone. There was no StatCast showing you exit velocity or what pitch was it half a second after Craig Kimbrell threw it. It's nice to not know, right? It's nice to make it felt like what you know, I got to be honest with you. A beautiful mistake happened. The center field camera was cutting off the batter in the left-handed batter's box. I don't know if you noticed that, but you couldn't see the hitter on the left-handed side clearly. That's a mistake, and I'm sure Fox was upset about it. I loved it. It made me feel like I was sitting in the outfield. I had a seat at the game. How many times do we have obstructed view when we go to games, any game? You can't see everything. You know, we don't have control over that. The intimacy and the purity of it brought me back to my conversation with my grandpa sitting in Busch Stadium in St. Louis growing up as a kid. I absolutely loved it. Sometimes we got to dumb it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, stupid, is one of my professors used to tell me about broadcasting. And I think it worked for this baseball game. I can't wait for it to go back. I believe there will be a game in Iowa every single year because of what you just said. I hope the Giants play in it. You know how many markets are saying that right now? 28 other markets are saying, I hope my favorite team gets to play in the Field of Dreams game. Because guess what? It's going to happen.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. That's what we learn in broadcast. Very good. Very good. That's what we learn in broadcasting. Hey, let's talk Giants a little bit. You know, they take some criticism. You know, no one seems to believe it. Everyone's waiting for it to sort of fall apart. But they've got the best record in the league, and Ron Wotus was just on MLB yesterday. He just celebrated his 2,000th win as a coach with the franchise. Good things are happening here. Are they getting their due?
No, they're not getting their due. And I will be quite honest with you. I for a long time, I wasn't buying it. How do you buy it? This is such a remarkable season. And over time, I'm sorry, but this is not a small sample size anymore. It's not. I mean, they're well over 30 games over 500. These reclamation projects in their rotation continue to perform at a high level. Kevin Gausman, I guess, is a game one starter on a playoff team. I guess Anthony DeSclafani is a legit number two starter on a playoff team. It's just fascinating. If 3 years ago you sat down with Farhan Zaidi and you said, look, I know you're eyeballing the 2021-22 offseason because all the money's coming off the books and there's going to be this marquee free agent shortstop class that you're finally going to reinvent Giants baseball, and you could do it in your own way. If you'd have told him 3 years ago that the first shortstop that you were going to sign, this dream shortstop class, would be Brandon Crawford to come back at age 35 and 36, he would have spit out his Starbucks. So it's an incredible story that Farhan didn't expect. It has altered his big picture plan for this organization in a good way. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the same blueprint for baseball success. It's about winning right now. And I'm glad they went out and got Chris Bryant. On the night of the trade deadline, I was rooting for it, and I celebrated when they got him. It was the front office showing the fan base and the guys in the clubhouse that we think you're good, and we're going to go get this guy to be the cherry on top of the best Sunday in the NL West, and maybe it's good enough to go to the World Series. I'm glad they're doing what they're doing, and I'm jumping on the bad wagon officially.
Well, it was a fun night for you during the trade deadline until you announced the trade.
Well, see, that was so funny. Giant fans are all over me still over that. So I fell into a mistake that my phone, I was getting these updates from my MLB Network control room. And what I didn't know was that as all these trades were coming by, I wasn't announcing anything off my phone, but they were 100% verbatim of what updates were coming through my phone from my control room. So the one I read was the most shocking to me. And I was like, Joey Bart is in this deal? So I literally, there were 22 moves that day. We were 18 for 18 thus far, and the one I read is the one they start screaming at me, no, we haven't verified that. So, look, the reason I love my job is because it's impossible to be perfect at it. It's a human experience. It's the ultimate reality television. It was a mistake on my part. I got worn out on social media, which I fully embrace. Whatever gets people moving and shaking, I'm totally fine. I need to send the Bart family a gift basket probably because they're like, where are we going? But other than that, it was a great night.
Come on. It was a great moment. Harold says, you can't be right. I think Dan O'Dowd was on. He says, nah, that can't be right. And you're looking at it. And it was live. It was wonderful. It's what we all go through. And it yes. came across so well, and then, of course, it was corrected, and it was no big deal. But it was fun. It made the whole moment fun. It did, and
Thank
it put
you.
A real spotlight on it. I know you grew up around the Cardinals. Jack Flaherty last night came back and pitched a great game. I'm looking at Cy Young candidates. DeGrom, I think, is heading for elbow surgery. Wheeler got hit hard last night by the Reds. Bueller goes tonight for the Dodgers against the Mets. If Jack Flaherty gets six more starts and he wins them all, he may get the Cy Young.
No doubt about it, especially when you look at the Cardinals' schedule. It's very favorable. They have a ton of opportunities against the Pirates. I believe they're playing them seven times before September 1st. And then we'll see what kind of grit this team has because they're loaded for bear in the month of September. I think they play 10 of their final 25 games are against the Milwaukee Brewers. So they have a legit chance to face the best team in their division, who I think will give the Giants all right. My power rankings aren't the Dodgers and the Padres anymore, which I went into the year thinking that was the creme de la creme of the National League. To me, it's the Giants and the Brewers. I think those are the two best teams in the National League. Starting pitching, the bullpens have been great. I think the Cardinals have a chance to do it again, and they're within striking distance. At the moment, 5.5 games out of that second NL wild card. The Padres look like they're fading fast. Everyone is injured, and Jack Flaherty is their version of Chris Sale. What Chris Sale returning to the Red Sox today means to Fenway is what Jack Flaherty means to the Busch Stadium. So we've seen the Cardinals do this before. They've been the cardiac cards. There have been some classic October matchups between St. Louis and San Francisco. And who knows, maybe they can squeak in and we'll see another one.
Well, they got Arenado and Goldschmidt, and during my lifetime, it's always been the Cardinals in September. Something always happens, and they're solid. But the Flaherty thing for me was huge last night. That's the one guy, and Mikolas, who may be back soon, too. How about Joey Votto? And look, Greg, when I grew up, Carl Yastrzemski in 1967 put that team on his back in September, took him to the World Series. I saw Jason Giambi do it with the A's in the early 2000s. Joey Votto, if Cincinnati gets in, this is one of the major stories of the whole year.
I agree with you. It is so remarkable what he's doing. 15 home runs in 22 games. How is that possible? And when you think about the fact he's making himself a gigantic target to any pitcher that's facing him right now, knowing if you serve up a bomb to Joey Votto, he's going to run around the bases and do that goofy point to his back, basically calling himself the man in front of you. The last thing you want is for Joey Votto to take you bridge right now, and he's doing it on a nightly basis.
He's
trying to hit home runs, which we always wondered what would it look like if Joey Votto tried to hit home runs. And here he is, past the age of 35, and he's doing it better than anyone. It's remarkable. He is not only swinging his way into the front-runner spot for the NL MVP, in my humble opinion, but he is silencing any of these Hall of Fame critics regarding Joey Votto's candidacy down the road. His on-base percentage, his OPS, will all be favorable towards his Hall of Fame candidacy. But what he is proving at this later stage of his career is if he chose to perform differently, he was and always was a premier slugger. He fell into the time where we valued on base at an extremely high level, an unfairly high level, if you ask me, because when you're paying someone over $200 million for the lifetime of contract, like the Reds did for Joey Votto, his role wasn't to get on base. His role was to drive in runs. Now he's doing that, and you see how it's impacting the Cincinnati Reds, who are very much in this second NL wildcard hunt. I think it's remarkable. He's proving how terrific he is, how special of a talent he is. And he's having a Hall of Fame moment that's lasting the span of a month, which is as shows you how talented he is.
Well, we used to say the same thing about Ichiro. If he wanted to hit home runs, he could hit 35 home runs, and Votto is doing it. And that was the criticism, you know, the Frank Thomas criticism. He takes too many pitches. And I think it's an amazing story. But you bring up the Hall of Fame, and you look at Votto, you look at Posey, and I'll give you another one, Salvador Perez. I think the three of them have made Hall of Fame credentials and sort of cemented their spot in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, I would tend to lean towards that. The phrase I like to use is he's on the Hall of Fame highway.
Okay.
And I think that they all are. I think Votto right now is cementing it. He's currently cementing it. Buster Posey has all the accolades a catcher could ever want to take with him into Cooperstown. So he's definitely on the Hall of Fame highway. Games played will affect his career number of hits, career number of home runs, as we compare him to the other great catchers that are in the Hall of Fame. But I do believe in giving extra value to the position. For some reason, we're forgetting what it was like to be little leaguers. You know, the guy that you needed to win a game, you needed a good catcher so the ball didn't roll to the backstop. You needed a good shortstop, and you needed a good center fielder. So you had the best players played those three positions. It was just the way it was, okay? It's still the way it is. Defensively, we have to give extra merit to those three positions. That's why I believe Yadier Molina should get first ballot Hall of Famer for doing what he's doing and the longevity that he's been able to possess. And he doesn't seem like he's slowing down all that much. Buster Posey's on the Hall of Fame highway. I would love to see him come back. I know it's going to be a sticky situation. Do you pick up the team option for $19 million? His OPS says you should.
Absolutely.
It says you should. Yeah. Carl Crawford or Brandon Crawford gets 2 years for $32 million. I think Buster Posey deserves $19 million. And I'll say this. The Giants are doing something that I absolutely love. they're reminding all of us that this is a business of entertainment. We get lost in the X's and O's and winning and losing. Yes, the Tampa Bay Rays are the best team in the American League East right now, but they are constructing a club with a formula that works for one single regular season, and they do it year after year. Wow, that's great. But go to a game inside the Trop, and how many jerseys do you see? You might see a Longoria jersey from back in the day. You might see a David Price jersey from back in the day, but no one's buying an Austin Meadows jersey because they know he'll probably be gone in 2 years. The San Francisco Giants are similar to the St. Louis Cardinals. They toe the balance of being current, but understanding that people want to wrap their arms around their heroes. It's a very 1950s, 60s style of entertaining your clients, your customers. And that is why the ballpark in San Francisco is an amazing place to go. It's the number one venue for Major League Baseball, in my opinion. And ever since I saw it, it's always been number one on my list. Cardinal baseball is a unique culture, and you go to these games and you see Posey jerseys, you see Crawford jerseys, you see Belt jerseys. That's a beautiful thing. Give people their heroes and keep them, and the Giants do that better than anybody.
Boy, I agree. You know, there's something about Tampa Bay, and this came up in a conversation today. I said, if you ask me, look, I'm on the West Coast. If you ask me who Tampa Bay has in their field, I can give you three players. Juan DeFranco, Kiermaier, and someone named Lowe. I think that's what they got. But what they've done, and this is what Kevin Cash does. He did it with Snell last year. He says, look, there's 27 outs in the game. I'm going to get those 27 outs one way or another. And he has, their department has revolutionized pitching. And I'm telling you something, the Giants are going to end up doing the same thing. They're going to figure out a way to get the 27 outs because they can hit. They just have to make sure they get the outs.
That's fine, but don't get lost in the baseball. Don't get lost in the business of only winning games. And Dan O'Dowd will bite my head off if I say that because he was hired, fired, given new contract extensions for the sole purpose of just winning games. And I know that's all the players in the field are trying to do, but it's still a Broadway show. It's still a Broadway show that we don't know the outcome of. People go to watch their favorite actors. Mm-hmm. If you know Matthew Broderick is going to be the lead in a Broadway show, you're fired up to watch it. When the understudy is there, instead, you're disappointed. No offense to the understudy. It's just the way it is. It's human nature. We still have to remind ourselves that this is a major source of entertainment for those of us who are blessed to have a favorite team and go to a beautiful ballpark and watch our favorite players. Some organizations remember that. Others do not. The Rays are lost in the baseball. They're lost in the minutia of it. I get it. You could put together a great ensemble cast. And you could have all kinds of theater experts sit in the front row and go, this is the best show on Broadway. And then you turn around and go, how the hell is no one sitting here watching this? Why are we not getting the box office filled with cash? Because at the end of the day, the stars are the draw. We are attracted to humans. That's why we're human. So we still want our heroes. Buster Posey has provided so many great memories that people will never forget in San Francisco. He is Matthew Broderick on a Broadway show. Bring him back. Don't tell me what his OPS is. Don't forecast what he's going to be at the age of 38. I don't want to hear that. I want to come and watch Buster Posey play if I'm a Giant fan. The Giants remember that. The Rays are lost in the minutia of winning games. I tip my cap. Maybe they'll win another AL East, but are they going to win money? They were two wins away from winning the World Series last year, and they were one of three teams, according to the Forbes list, that went down in value. They went down in overall value. That's all you need to know. It's still a show at the end of the day.
Boy, Greg, great talking with you. Great talking ball with you. Studio host of MLB Tonight. And, boy, we got to do this again. It was a pleasure. Nice having you on, Greg. I appreciate it.
Let's do it again. I love the conversation. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, really good. All right, that is Greg Amsinger. Greg, thanks so much. Wow, that was a baseball conversation. Bill Lasky, are you there?
I am. Good stuff right there, Marty.
Holy
I mean, he
cow.
Was he hit so many boxes right there with the discussion of everything, and I love his parallels of the Tampa Bay and the San Francisco, and who wants to win, heritage and longevity, and then who just wants to. That was really good, Marty, real good.
Yeah, you know, as I'm going to say during the show today, and when you and I are going to talk some pitching, I know you got Sean Estes coming up, which I'll let you preview. But, you know, Tampa Bay says, give me 27 outs. I'll get them. If I have to start the closer and go to the middle man, then put the starter in the seventh inning, I'll do it. And the Giants love it, and I could see if they struggle with their pitching, they'll do what Tampa Bay's doing.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of answers, and today being Sammy Long's day coming up from AAA and just another arm coming up to fill a slot. But, you know, that's what I'm going to talk to Sean about. We're going to talk pitching. We're going to talk about starting rotation in a bullpen, and that's coming up next, Marty. So let's see some pitching talk right now.
Beautiful. Very good. All right, Bill. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Bill coming back with Sean Estes. Always a pleasure to hear Sean Estes give a nice, succinct answer. Right, Bill?
Yeah, a nice short one, Marty.
We love him. We love Sean Estes. I really enjoy him. All right, we'll take a break. More coming up, KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.